Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Chris King, your host for The Status Flow, where we are providing tips and tools where you can go from status quo to status flow. I'm really excited about our leading lady today. Her name is Pauline Dugald, and she is with Pauline Dugald Coaching. And I tell you, this is the person to talk to when you want to talk about how to succeed in a male-dominated world. Pauline is a professional in the motorsports industry, and that is her focus. Pauline, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you being here.
Hi, Chris. It's good to hear you.
Great to be with you. So to the first thing I think of when it comes to women and motorsports is, of course, famous names like Danica Patrick and Shirley Muldowney. Tell me, how did you get into it?
So my story goes back to about 2006 when, by some chance event, my company at which I was working at the time took us go-karting to a local go-kart track as a corporate event to just let loose and relax. And at that time, I was also learning how to drive. It was beginning years, and I was living in a large metropolis, and it was super scary and super nervous driving. And I thought, well, the go-karting seems to be like a great way to learn how to drive better. And I continued with that, and it provided with me so much of ability to be confident in my driving that I continued on with that sport. And from there on, I took a year off and I actually studied mechanics and racing at our local racetrack. And from there on, I was fully involved with the races here in Canada where I live. And that pretty much just started and continued. It was a natural progression for me.
Now, what was it like, because so many women are operating in male-dominated industries, and this could be anything from the law to accounting to just about anything. What was it like for you as you got started in this business?
When I hear a word male-dominated industry, it doesn't really adds up to me, because I don't perceive myself being in a male-dominated industry per se. What I see myself is being just a gearhead among others who are also as obsessed about racing. Within that environment, there is no really separation. We know exactly what we're there to do and why, and we don't have to explain to each other. It goes unspoken. And that is the main connecting point for all of us within that environment. Therefore, it becomes as a second family, because everybody knows why we're there and we don't have to explain why we're there.
I love that term, gearhead. And so it's all about the thing that you're working on, the thing that you're focused on, passionate about, and everybody gets behind that. I love that. I'd love to hear, has it always been that way where, you know, was it always so synergistic between you and the men and the other women in the industry? Was there ever any friction point where maybe you had to deal with somebody maybe discounting you being in that arena?
So it's a great question. I always have been prone to be part of the male kind of dominated activities for one reason or another. I can't really describe why it happened to me early in my childhood, but I always preferred the activities and the toys and the games that boys played more so than the girls. So I started there. Then as I continued, I specifically was looking for sports or activities or jobs to get into which were dominated by males specifically. And that, in a way, that was my way of gaining camaraderie and strength. And later, as I continued on, I was able to embrace my feminine side within that environment. But I was always kind of prone to being part of that environment because it just it connected me so much better there than anywhere else. And I do know about a lot of stories where women have experienced difficulties when they are within that environment. But for me, I can't think of a specific event where I felt like I was unjustly treated, because when I was coming to those places, I was always doing the work first. So for me, I believe that you have to earn yourself an opportunity to express any of the kind of feminine aspects within that environment. And you earn yourself that right by first doing what the guy is doing. So you have to put in the hard work first. You have to do what they do in order to understand what it is that they're doing. I was in the military in my early teen years in the reserves. So you had to do work. There was no space or place for anything else. You just had to work hard. And as the time went, I used that every time I went into any other kind of male-dominated area. You put in the work first, and then you kind of express what the difference is between you and other people, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's, you know, I love that you share that. It's about doing the work. And, you know, you had said that you still got to hang on to your femininity. And I really love that, because I think there's a lot of people out there that think they have to sort of show up in a man's world, quote unquote, as a man and let go of their femininity. How is it you were able to do that? Because you were able to put the work in and focus on that without doing it in a way that was inauthentic to you and still maintain your femininity. What are some of the ways that you were able to do that and move forward in that way?
So for me, it was the progression of earn the space first by actually blending in. And that doesn't mean that becoming a man or doing, it just means that you blend in and you don't emphasize the things that are different, and you emphasize things that are more the same, which is the work ethic, and any kind of things that are extraneous to the thing that you're doing. And when it comes to appearance, this is where I took the page from the rule book of the military training that I had. Everybody there had to dress the same, look the same. There were very strict rules about what you could or could not do. And so that was a background. This was a platform upon which you built everything else. So I took that into every other area where I had to deal with other people. So, which meant not emphasizing any other aspects that specifically pertain to the feminine, because that only distracts. And so you don't have to become someone. You just have to tone it down in order to bring the work first. And so things like no makeup at the racetrack, things like wearing more subdued colors, that helped to be on the same wavelength as other people and not be a distraction in any other way. Because I've seen many cases where that aspect of gender sort of is brought forward, and it becomes a number one distraction and it gets in the way. So it doesn't mean that you have to change yourself to be someone else. You just have to tone it down.
Yeah. And you know, we see that so much as soon as there's something that seems like an anomaly, even if it's not. You know, I mentioned Danica Patrick earlier, for example, where there was a lot of focus on her being a woman as opposed to her numbers and her statistics as a race car driver, because the, you know, women in racing go all the way back to the dawn of racing. I think 1901 was the first professional female race car driver. So it's fascinating to me, you know, how we put kind of that focus, even if it's not really a thing. Now you've actually moved into a new area where you are now coaching in this industry. I'd love to hear more about that. What was the pivot? How did that get started? And what are you doing now?
Yes. So my coaching evolved as a result of my own kind of difficulties in life. At one point, I was being part of the racing. It was very exciting. And I was spending all my time at the track every weekend. So there was a lot of that happening. But as life continued on and I started a family, I had no more time to go to the track. There was no really opportunity for that. And so what ended up happening is that I ended up in the routine of pretty much just working and going home and sleeping and taking care of the family and nothing much else going on. So I felt like I was in a rut. I felt like I was walking through a forest and all of a sudden I ended up in a swamp. And I started researching. I discovered the world of personal growth and development. I started reading everything I could. I started listening to all the prominent people in that industry. And I discovered that there was coaching. And that helped me tremendously because I gathered the skills to help myself. And now I can pass those skills on to the others. The coaching itself evolved out of my struggle with sameness and lack of variety in my life. And it went much further than that because then I discovered the world of flow science and then the whole thing just made sense why I wasn't in motorsports in the first place. So now I get to connect the coaching methodologies that come from positive psychology, personal development, and as well as flow science and neuroscience. I combine them all together and I provide real value to the people in my community.
I love that you brought that up because, of course, here on the Status Flow, flow is a big focus of what we do. This is very different than the wellness coaches, the women's empowerment coaches and things like that. So I'd love to hear from your perspective, you know, how do you describe flow? There's, you know, you mentioned the neuroscience behind it. Take us through that a little bit. What is flow? How does that work? And how are you applying it with your clients now?
Right. Well, this is a deep rabbit hole and the most exciting rabbit hole because the flow is essentially for me is the fireworks in my brain when I listen to them, to the videos or the training that we both went through. There's so much in it. And the first moment when I discovered the flow science, everything just fell into place. All the puzzle pieces came together why I was in the world of motorsports, why other people were in the world of motorsports, why anyone was doing anything. It's all for that reason. For me, the flow is described as there is obviously a variety. You can have a small experience or you can have a full-blown experience. In a race, you have what is called macro flow because you're so focused on that task. There's a lot of risks. You have to be really on point there. But at the same time, you can have a minor variation of that. For me, for example, when painting, I get into a minor state, or when I'm learning about this, it's also, so there's a variety. And the end result is the incredible satisfaction that you get from the experience. And it's also bonding you together with other people who are doing the same thing. So the flow in itself is the mechanism by which we all create, innovate, and Stephen Kotler speaks about it. It's evolutionary necessary for us to be in that state. It's very important. That's why I believe it's also very important to know about this. And the way I help people, motorsports itself is the place where you can't really think yourself to the podium. You can't consciously decide how you're going to race. It has to be on a subconscious level. That means the person has to be in flow, what is called in the zone, in order to be successful. Otherwise, there's too much thinking. When there's too much thinking in motorsports, it results in mistakes. Mistakes have dire consequences. There is a very small margin of error in that space. So you have to be in that space of flow, the zone. You can't really hope to be good in racing. And there is no time. Everything is so expensive, and the practice session is so limited to about 1 hour per session that you have to know how to dial that state in for every occurrence. So I believe there is so much importance in knowing and understanding what is part of it and how to improve it in motorsports specifically.
You know, Pauline, that's a great sentence that you just said. You cannot think your way to the podium. That was really beautiful. I love the way you share that. Now, for people who aren't necessarily in motorsports, is it the same? Is it different? How does it work in other areas?
Well, there are lots of sports that are also flow prone. For example, baseball. the ball is hurling it at the person with such speed that they can't consciously even swing the bat in time to hit the ball. It has to be done on a subconscious level before they even realize what's happening, which comes through training. So the higher risk ratio in any kind of activity, the more flow there will be in there. However, there are also it's also present in the intellectual endeavors. Artists, writers, and coders also get into that, but they just don't experience the same way. But the neurochemistry applies to everybody. There are certain aspects of the internal chemistry that works the same way, and that's much deeper conversation. But for example, another area that has a lot of flow is any kind of activity that's done through the body, dance or skiing or figure skating. So there's this feeling that happens when the person has the skill developed so well that they perform on such a level that everything becomes automatic. And the result is that once they're in that state, they know they're in that state after. It's hard to miss. So once people experience it, they will know that they were there. So how
will somebody know? You say that they'll notice it afterwards. How does somebody know that this has happened to them, and when do they know it?
Yeah, so there are a few parameters that happen, such as altered sense of time, when the time and the sense of self, they are experienced differently in that state. So if somebody is doing an activity and they forgot what time it is or how much time has passed, or they totally forgot about the self and they forgot to eat or they forgot to stand up, they were sitting in a chair for many hours, that is an indication of that different altered state. Everything either slows down or speeds up, it just becomes different than normal reality. So they're no longer in the same place. And once they come out of it, they realize that they have been somewhere else. And what else happens is that they come up with new ideas that otherwise would not happen so easily. And I believe those are the key aspects that could help people identify that they were in that state.
You know, that's exactly the experience that I have. And as you know, I've studied flow and we actually have a shared background in motorsports, although you went much farther than I did. But I grew up racing go-karts and I was in the cockpit of Grand National car a few times. So I you're speaking my language. I so get it. For somebody that's not in the sports world, the athletic world or the dance world, where there's maybe not a physical, but maybe somebody who's, you know, an attorney or somebody that owns a chain of like a franchise restaurant, business owner or something like that. What are some of the things that they can do so that they can put themselves in this state of peak performance and ultimate creativity? How do we get them there?
Well, first of all, they have to figure out what is the most important thing or the most exciting thing that they want to work on that really has purpose behind it. What is number one goal or the thing that they can put all their energy behind? And there is no easy recipe to get into flow. As Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, who's the father of flow science, said, there has to be the activities that we enjoy to such extent that they could be considered flow. They don't come naturally to us. They require a lot of skill to be built on the front end before anything can happen. It just doesn't happen by accident. So if people want to experience more of that, they need to discover what it is that they really want to work on and then what skills are part of it. For example, for someone who is a lawyer or an attorney, they have to build the skill of being a lawyer first. And then as mm-hmm. they get into, if it's in a court setting, it's possible to get into that state if they have all the parameters set up, which are biological, which is sleep, exercise, nutrition, all things like that. If they have that figured out, if they have the purpose and goal and main idea figured out, then they go into the action. and that would allow them to connect all sorts of different ideas together, and they might get into that state where they're speaking and ideas are coming naturally and they're proposing and things are happening and everything just flows. But that requires a lot
everything
of skill.
Everything flows.
Yes, and that requires to have a lot of skill to be built in order to actually be a lawyer. For someone who owns a chain of restaurants, well, they have to build a skill of how to work with the business, a lot of things that are particular to that. And then once they have that and they have the biological parameters figured out, then they can create out of that if all is lined up. But it's not a shortcut. There is no shortcut to flow. You have to actually do a lot of work to get into that. It doesn't happen by accident.
Right. I love that. It doesn't happen by accident. It does take, you got to put the work in and make the effort. In my experience, it's more about removing barriers than it is like adding horsepower, right? You know, you know very well that speed is not just a function of horsepower, it's a function of weight, right? And so it's removing a lot of the weight. What are some of the, you know, we'll call them the flow blockers that get in people's way? Because everybody is neurochemically wired for this. Everybody is hardwired for high performance. And so there are behaviors or attitudes or whatever it is that's actively blocking somebody's natural ability to get into high performance. What are a couple of the things that jam people up in your experience?
Well, number one is the mindset. And out of that comes out the beliefs that we download from the society, download from the environment, the things that we believe we can or cannot do, which relates to the growth of fixed mindset, as Carol Dweck wrote in her book. That is number one thing. The second thing is cognitive overload. If you think that you can multitask and get into flow, you're going to be met with disappointment, because
right.
You actually have to remove a lot of things from your environment and figure out what your beliefs are. So that actually requires to do inner work in order to identify, well, what do I believe in about this experience, about myself, what I can do in the world, what I believe about all sorts of other things, because flow connects everything in your life. And then you have to start removing a lot of things from your environment.
Right. And what I'm hearing is a lot of this is very counterintuitive, right? You know, because like a lot of people, there's so much to do in today, right? Especially a business owner, or if you're working at a large corporation, there's just all this stuff. And the tendency for most people, in my experience, is that if they want to get more done, they end up working more hours. And that's sort of the hamster wheel, right? That's like using your credit card to buy more stuff. That's the losing proposition. And so the counterintuitive, right? By letting go of multitasking, by working less hours to get more done, that seems to be where the magic can really happen, right? Is that in alignment with your experience as well?
Yeah. It is definitely removing things when people are starting to do more and not sacrificing their health for that. That's the number one reason why they would be locking themselves out of flow, because flow depends on a good state of physical health. The good physical state. And for that, sleep is so important. And when people working long hours and sacrificing sleep, that affects their biology, that affects their performance, it affects all kinds of areas. So that relates back into the belief and back into the internal systems that we have. And so when I work with clients, number one thing we look at is what are the systems in place and what do they believe about them. And from that happens, because a lot of people in this world believe right now that going on less sleep is actually heroic. If you can continue on and on without any sleep, you're actually some kind of superhero, which is completely opposite to what every scientist and every doctor is saying right now. You need to actually have lots more sleep than you're getting.
Right. We use those words like power through or something like that. Mm. And you're right. That is, again, the counterintuitive behavior. When you have more stuff to do, people tend to cut back on sleep, when the opposite is what needs to happen. When you have more to do, you need to double down on sleep. You know, I'm looking at your website, highflowtrainer.com, and I noticed something that I thought was really cool. I'm going to read what one of your clients said. The clarity you brought me gave me new thoughts, the raw material, and now they've come back from the subconscious mind and inspired thoughts. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. What I love about this is that the benefits of getting into a flow cycle and living in alignment with it seems to go well beyond just the performance improvement at work or at home or whatever. There's an experiential difference, right?
Yes, absolutely. So for me, when I coach someone, my reason, number one reason for coaching is that's my flow moments. I get into flow when I'm speaking with a client. And when I'm coaching them on the only way to get to that is to identify how is everything else working in their life, what needs to be improved. When that gets improved, everything gets improved across the board. Flow is not very limited experience. It spreads to all areas of our life. It's not just the brain. It's the whole body. It's the whole life entirely. So you have to look at it from the perspective of what needs are they satisfying, what beliefs are running in their subconscious programming, all those things. And when we identify them and bring them to the light, because I see myself as providing a service of having a flashlight shown on the darkest areas of the life so that they can see what is going on there and providing a new perspective so they can see through a different lens. And when that happens, they start thinking differently. And when they start thinking differently, different things are possible. So,
love that. Outstanding. So tell us about your coaching practice. Who are the kinds of people that you're working with and what are you doing for them?
So my coaching practice is rather young. I started it this year. And my main audience, my main clients are people who have their own business and trying. So I have twofold. One side is the motorsports, another side is the business owners, because within business, you need to have a lot of innovation, a lot of creativity. In order for that to happen, you have to kind of be in flow. And on the other side, I have motorsport people who want to either go faster or want to improve their lap times, want to be more consistent. But at the same time, a lot of those people also have businesses on the side. That's how they pay for their motorsports careers and experiences. So that builds it together. And what I do for them is get clarity on what it is that they want to do, how to get there, what obstacles are in the way, and what is specific to them. Because flow is their unique experience. It's very subjective to each individual person. So it has to be identified on the level of the person and their specific things that they're doing in order to improve. So that becomes an exercise of identifying what are their specific triggers, what are their blockers, how can we create some things that could be getting in the way, and what it is that they believe about the whole thing. So my main people are essentially from the motorsports and the business environment. So.
And do you tend to work with men, women, both? Is it open for everybody? Is there an age kind of that is sort of your sweet spot?
I mostly work with men because of what I expressed in the beginning of the show, because of my propensity to be part of the environments where men mostly are found. And I have the language that I can speak to them, and it just becomes I'm very passionate working with men. I can't really describe why. I believe it's because of the polarity. Polarity between masculine and feminine. I just love that interaction and the ideas that come out of it. And I love bringing feminine aspect to their world in order to show them that you don't have to be afraid of the feminine out there. There's really a lot of goodness in it. So that's kind of my underlining purpose. And I really work well with men. I haven't worked very much with women just because of the nature of the motorsport itself and nature of the businesses. So in a way, my ideal audience is between the age of 35 and maybe 45. In that sweet spot when they're trying to provide value into the world, which I'm also trying to do.
Outstanding. Well, you can work with the men. I tend to work with the women. So we'll just pass people back and forth. It'll work out for everybody, right? How do we get a hold of you? What's the best way to find you?
So I have a website, highflowtrainer.com. You can find me on Facebook, Pauline Dugald Coaching, and I'm also on Instagram, highflowtrainer, the easiest way.
Outstanding. Pauline, thank you so much for being here. Really enjoyed having you on the show. Any last thought you want to share? Any drop the mic moment?
Yes, it was great being on the show. And the biggest thing is that we all need in this world to be more in flow, because the technology is increasing exponentially. Meanwhile, our internal systems have not been upgraded in a long time. So we really need flow, and we need innovation in order to keep up with the technology. And that's where the flow comes in.
Absolutely. With all the, I love that you mentioned that, the technology too, right? We're, as AI comes more in and more technology and more stuff, and the world moves faster, we're going to need a lot more of humanity in humans, I think, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Outstanding. So I do have a question. I'm do you have a book or anything coming? I think a lot of people are going to want to read your book.
It's surely in the works. First, I'm trying to get back into painting. That's my number one activity. The book is definitely in the future.
Outstanding. And will this be an instructional thing, a personal development thing? What do you envision that?
It would be something along the lines of why the flow is important, how you can get to it. Well, there's a lot of things. Flow is such a big subject. Where I would want to focus it on is why it's important to know about and to be in it, essentially. So,
love that. So, and are you available for speaking engagements? I know sometimes there's a lot of events out there, and even with everything being online right now, things are moving pretty quickly. Is that something that you do?
Absolutely. I would love to be a participant in any kind of personal development event or anything of that nature. I'm definitely open to that.
Outstanding. So highflowtrainer.com. And then you said your Instagram again?
Also highflowtrainer.
Also highflowtrainer. See, that's easy. I should have remembered that. You think I would have remembered that one? I'm so grateful for you to be here. Thank you so much. So highflowtrainer.com. I was a little surprised there wasn't a race car on there, honestly.
It is in my gallery. In my gallery of paintings and photography. As something else that I do. So
love that you're doing the painting. That's fantastic. And that is, I'm assuming your kind of your flow activity. Yeah.
Yes. Painting, dancing is a very embodied activities for me. So that's how I get into flow, as well as also I ride a motorcycle, which allows me to have the connection to the world of motorsport itself and provide me that space where I could find creativity.
Nice. So you actually get more creativity from being creative. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. Once you get into that state, you get more of that. So once you start painting, you continue getting more ideas about paint. Once you start moving, you want to move more. So the more flow you have, the more flow you get. So that is why it's important to start to learn about it, experience it, and then because flow in one area translates into more creativity and innovation in another area. So that's my biggest point is for people in motorsports, if they have more flow on track, they are more innovative in their job or their business during the week.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because we're quickly running out of time. But where's a good place that somebody that wants to know more about flow in general, what are some good resources?
They should definitely check out books by Stephen Kotler. He has done extensive research, and is my book that started everything was Feeling. Beyond that, there is Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. His book is called Flow. That is excellent resource, which I go back to all the time. And neuroscience, main people in neuroscience right now that I listen to is Andrew Huberman, and the others are escaping me. But people like that right now in the public space are doing a lot of work to decode that science for people to understand.
Yeah, and it is still pretty new. You know, I know that flow has its roots in positive psychology, but this, as we look at it now, is still pretty new. As you mentioned, Chick Set Me High, who wrote Flow, Kotler's work, he wrote Stealing Fire, Rise of Superman. There's a lot of information out there now, and it's, you know, it's certainly changed my life. Right. You know, because again, I didn't know what this was. I grew up with flow, you know, with skateboards and BMX bikes and go-kart racing and hockey and these kinds of things. But I never knew what it was. I just knew it felt good. Right. You know, like sort of what you mentioned earlier. It just felt good. I don't know why. It just felt so amazing, but I didn't know what it was. And learning about it now and how it's available to everybody, that was pretty surprising to me. What would you say to somebody that is thinking, oh, everybody but me, right?
Well, that's a mindset. You have to really look into what your beliefs are. That's number one thing. If somebody thinks that it's not for them, they have to look at the beliefs that they carrying around with them about all sorts of things. So flow is something that we are predisposed to, evolutionary, that is designed for humans to evolve through that experience. That's why it's so important. The more flow we have, the more we evolve. Our consciousness evolves. When our consciousness evolves, everything around us evolves. We are, as an individual, we're connected to at least 1,000 people through our networks, the things that we do and the people we affect. So if we discover how to get into flow, if we get better at that and we have more of those moments, we can affect 1,000 people in our network. And those people will continue affecting their people. So it's evolutionary, very important, I believe, to understand that state and that it's for everybody. But it's very unique. That's the whole thing. It's so unique that you have to go deep inside yourself to understand what makes you flow.
Love it. Pauline, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate having you. That's going to do it for us today. Pauline Dugald, highflowtrainer.com. Peak performance coach dealing with primarily men who are working to achieve more, to get more out of life, to experience more, have more, do more, be more. Special thanks to the listener, both US and internationally, as we are an international show. We will be back again for another Women Lead Radio show Mondays, 9 a.m. Pacific, Fridays, 2 p.m. Pacific. It has been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Again, I am Chris King. Thank you for listening. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.
Thank you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.